Today, Shem Sachtigit and Daf Samachay, we will begin by Ezra Shemiz Baruch on Daf Samachay Omer Aleph, fourth line from the top of Amid Masur of Avya. In our previous year, we had discussed what halachic ability does a cotton have or not have in terms of acquiring something and transferring ownership of something. The halacha is that in the first and the second and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, one has to give Maisa Sheni. The halacha of Maisa Sheni is that the actual Maisa Sheni should be taken to Yerushalayim to be eaten. But the Torah gives us the prerogative to redeem that Maisa Sheni and take the money up to Yerushalayim and use it to buy food items. The halacha also says that if somebody is being paid, if somebody is redeeming his own Maisa Sheni, he must add a fifth. If he's being paid up somebody else's Maisa Sheni, he need not add a fifth. And what the Gemara begins to discuss in our shiur today is what is the halacha if somebody wants to avoid paying that fifth. Says the Mishnah Masechta Maisa Sheni, Perek Dal Mishnah Dal Moser of Avya. Marima Maisa Sheni. One could try to avoid having to have to pay the extra fifth. Ketzad, what should he do? He says to his children who are gedolim, adults, as we mentioned in our previous shiur, it's not quite clear who is considered gedolim. Some explain that the definition of gedolim is, as usually, a gadol is above bar mitzvah, above bas mitzvah, and a katan is below or below or bar or bas mitzvah. Others say that the definition of gedolim is, are they relying, are they living in this person's home? It says the Mishnah, Ayma adon l'bnai abita gedolim, ula avdoy l'shivchas ha'avriyim, halachem ma'as halalu, I'm going to give you this money, upadman ma'itzah she'nizah, and with that, you'll be able to be paid in the Maisa Sheni, and like that, he'll be able to avoid having to have to add the fifth. Rav Chaim Briska says that how does somebody have the right to be paid in the Maisa Sheni that belongs somebody else? That's with the halacha of Zechiyah, that I could do a favor for somebody else. And says Rav Chaim Brisker, in introducing this to our Gemara, if the halacha is that Ketanim don't have the halachic authority to do so, they wouldn't be able to be paided. The fact that this Mishnah is telling us they can do so is a raya that what is the authority of a katan. So says the Gemara in analyzing the Mishnah, Hai Shivcha, the Shivcha that's being discussed in that Mishnah, Heichi Dami, what type of shivcha are we speaking about? Ida Asya Shtei Saris, if she already is an adult. So a Amma of Ria, a Jewish Amma, doesn't work past being a Doila. Elalav, how must we explain that we're talking about that the Loyasya Shtei Saris, that she did not yet bring the Shtei Saris. And even though she didn't bring yet the Shtei Saris, so she's obviously not yet a Doila, we see that she still has the ability to make this type of financial transaction. And it says the Gemara, Hachem Maiskin and Maisa Mazar and Zed Rabbonin. This Mishnah is talking about Maisa Bizman Zed the Rabbonin. And since it's a Maisa the Rabbonin, that's why we're lenient with a cotton being able to do so. So, of course, the Mefarshim ask that we learned in our previous shiur that even by the Rabbanon, there's a rule called the Tikkun Rabbanon, Kain the Raisa Tikkun. Anything the Rabbanon instituted, is they fashioned it the way the Rabbanon, the way the Torah said it. So if it's not going to be applicable, if it's not effective by the Raisa when a cotton makes a transaction, why would it be effective when he does so or she does so by a derabbanan? So the Rishonim answer, and as we learned in the previous year, The Gemara differentiated between a Dovah Sheyesh Le'ikah Min HaTorah, where the Rabbanon has a basis in the Torah, versus a Rabbanon that has no basis in the Torah. Explained the Mefarshim, the Maisav is Manazeh, since there's no produce that has a chi of meiser, according to this Gemara, b'zmanazeh midaraisa. So all meiser b'zmanazeh is considered like something that doesn't have an ikum in a Torah. And since it's all considered like something that doesn't have an ikum in a Torah, we wouldn't apply the concept of kol the tikkun rabbanan ke'ein deraisa tikkun. Ask the Gemara, but then ask the Gemara a different question. However, is there such a thing as an Amma Avriya? For Tanya, haven't we learned in a Braisa? Ain't ever noig el bezman she yovel noig. Only when there's yovel in a place is there a concept of ever every and Amma Avri. Because the Pasuk says, yovel hi tiyel lechem, v'ish al mishpachta teshuva. When we have yovel, and when yovel comes, we know that all avodim go free, that's when we have meiser. But now, that's when there's avodim. But nowadays, where there's no yovel, how could there be, in general, asked the Gemara, an Amma Avriya? Says the Gemara, Ella, the way we have to explain the Mishnah is the Atzuch Erenok of the Rabbanon. The Chi of Meiser, it's talking in a time where there was yovel. But the fruit, the produce from which the Meiser is being taken, is on a flower pot. That doesn't have a hole, and the chiyuv of taking meiser on such a flower pot is only drabonim. And again, following up what we just learned, the Gemara could have said, why couldn't the Gemara have said that we're talking about vegetables, where the chiyuv of taking meiser by vegetables is never daraisim? To that, we would have asked that there's an issue of called a tikkun rabbonon, came daraisa tikkun. So in order to avoid that question, the Gemara says we're speaking about Otzot Sheinu Nokov. The chiyuv of taking Meiser by Otzot Sheinu Nokov is always a Drabonon and has no Ikum in HaTorah. And therefore, there is no concern of Kol the Tikkun Rabbonon Kein the Raisa Tikkun. And that's why, since it's Drabonon, even though the person who's taking it is an Amma or a Cotton, as an Amma Avri who's a Ketana, it doesn't make a difference. Says the Gemara, because we've been discussing what is the halacha regarding Ketanim, says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Sholosh Midos V'Katan. When we speak about Ketanim, there are three phases. If we have him at the point, Tzrav V'Zakrei, Egoiz V'Netloi, that he has enough intelligence to differentiate between a stone and a walnut, and when he's given a stone, he discards it. And when he's given a nut, he keeps it. Zoich l'atzmai, he's considered old enough that he could take ownership for himself. Ve'enoi zoich l'acherim. But he's not considered intelligent enough to be able to transfer something. Kenegan v'ktana, and when you have a ktana, miskadeshes, she's considered enough of baldas for kedusha d'rabbanan, as we often say that the Ketana, when she is a Ketana, her father can marry her off. Let's say she doesn't have a father. So if she has this level of intelligence, she's considered Mekudeshes, Midrabonon. And therefore, since it's Kedusha Drabonon, she is Mekudeshes. However, if she wants to end this marriage, terminate this marriage, it's not required that she should have a get. Miyun, an annulment, is going to be enough, because she's considered intelligent enough to be able to protect the kesef kedushin that she receives. And since she's considered intelligent enough to protect the kesef kedushin she received, she's considered mekudeshes derabbanan. Kaputos, when you have a child that's already older with more intelligence, as we discussed earlier in the afternoon tests, anywhere between 6 years old and 10 years old, depending on the intelligence of that child, mecha, what they buy is considered a valid, it's considered theirs. Mekar, memkar, big taltalin, they could transfer to buy, they could transfer and buy and sell metatlin. connect them by ketana, when you have a ketana at that age, miskareshes b'kedusha aviyah, even if her father was mekabel kedushin. So once the father was mekabel to kedushin, she's mekudeshes mederaisa. Still, if she's at this level of intelligence, she's considered intelligent enough that if she receives a get, it's considered a proper receiving of a get, and she will be divorced mederaisa. Higil oinus nedarim, once she comes to the age that she can make a nether and it should be obligate, that's a girl from the age of 11 and a boy from the age of 12. Nedreim nedran v'gdesh chedesh. When they make a nether, it's valid. If they magdi something, it's valid. Connect them b'ktana. And the same thing by ktana. If she's that age, if she becomes a yevama chaletzis. Says the Gemara another thing. Limka b'nach say aviv. But if somebody wants to be able to have the ability to sell properties that he inherited, there the halach is ad shei ben esrim. There the halach is that until he's 20 years old, the sale is not valid. There's a machlokes rishonim. The Ran, quoting the Baal Iter, when the Gemara says that he inherited from his father, it doesn't mean necessarily that he inherited from his father. Even if he inherited from anybody else, money that he inherited, the way the Rishonim explain, is not money that he appreciates because he didn't work for it. And therefore, he's not going to take care of that money properly. The Rashba disagrees. He says that this is only a halacha on a Yerusha from a father. Any other Yerusha would not have this halacha. The Ritva says that this halacha is only regarding selling. He doesn't have the proper intelligence yet to sell properly. But to give as a gift, says the Ritva, he wouldn't give it away as a gift unless he really had a good reason to give it away as a gift. The Rashba disagrees. And the Rashba says that this halacha that we just learned in the Gemara, it doesn't make a difference selling or a gift. Most Rishonim say that this halacha is universal. No matter who this individual is, if he's not 20 years old, he cannot sell assets that he inherited. However, the Rashbam's opinion is that if you see that this person, even though he's below 20, is particularly intelligent and understands business, then even though he's not 20 years old, the halacha is that it will be that the sale will be a valid sale. On the other hand, the Ran says that what happens once he's 20 years old? So the Ran says that once he's 20 years old, any sale that he does, even on assets that he inherited, will be considered a valid sale. The Ritva, however, says that if we see that he's 20 years old, but he still doesn't have that proper business acumen, even though he's 20 years old, the deal would not be a deal. So here we just learned in our Gemara, as we began today's shiur, that if somebody, so to speak, wants to beat the system, and he could give his Maaseh Sheni, or have his Maaseh Sheni redeemed by somebody else, even family members. And we find this concept in other halachas. The Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeah Simen Kuf Chaf Sif Tezayin says, what happens if somebody bought a new pot, pan, dish that has to be taken to the mikveh before it could use? And he forgot to take it to the mikveh before Shabbos. And as we've learned before, the halach is that if you can't take something to the mikveh on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch says, you could give it to a guy. Once you give it to a Nochri, it's not considered owned by a Jew. And since it's not considered owned by a Jew, there wouldn't be a Chiyuv. And that's to Tevelet. And that's the same thing, same type of a Haroma. The Paiskim discuss that the Halach is Rachman Lotzlan Layaleinu V'Layalechem. If somebody loses a close relative, he has to rip Kriya. But he gives that Begid If he gives that breged to somebody else, he doesn't have to give rib kriya. But then, by an oval, he has to sit in that breged, so it's not so simple. But the halacha is that if somebody has not seen the Kaisla Maravi for 30 days, and he goes to see it, he has to rip kriya. And if somebody doesn't want to rip his shirt or whatever, what could he do? So the Mayadim Azmanim say that if you give ownership to your shirt to somebody else, that also is a way of avoiding the Chiyuv Kriya. This Gemara that we learned about, a cotton, is very relevant on Sukkos, because the halacha is that the dalim minim that we own have to be lechem, they have to be owned by us. And therefore, if we give the dalim minim to a cotton, when he takes ownership of the dalim minim, so then the halacha will be that he doesn't maybe have the ability to give it back to me, and now I need them for lechem. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Simen Tafrush Nun Hei Sevav, Tafrush Nun Ches Sevav, says that on the first day of Sukkot, where there's a din of lechem, one should be careful to take the dalminim first by himself and then give it to the cotton. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, in line with what we just learned in our shir, that if the cotton that we're giving the dalminim to is a pu'utos, so our Gemara just said when somebody's at the age of pu'utos, he can do financial transactions. And therefore the halacha will be that you could buy it from, you could give it to him, and he has the ability to give it back to you. And the same question that comes up regarding a child buying dalim minim from a child. The halacha is not so simple. If you could buy dalim minim from a child, the question is, how did the child take ownership for it? And that's why there's some people who are careful not to buy dalim minim from children who are below bar mitzvah. Says the Mishnah, Ketana she'amra, if Ketana said to a shliach, Heskavili giti, as we began the perek discussing a shliach le'kabbalah, so she appointed someone to be a shliach le'kabbalah, the halacha is, en get atshigil lat yaday. The get is not a get until she actually receives it. Because even though, as of course we learned, the halacha is that a woman can appoint a shliach l'kabbalah, but that woman has to be a gedolah. Our Mishnah speaking about a ketana, and therefore says the Mishnah, ketana she'amra hiskabel egeti, she doesn't have the ability to appoint a shliach l'kabbalah, and therefore ain't a get at shegi get liyada. It's not considered a valid get until she actually receives it. And since it's not considered a get until she actually receives it, lefikach amratza about lachzor, if the husband wants to back out before she receives it, yachzor, he may do so. Shein cotton oisah shliach, because the cotton does not have the halachic ability to appoint the shliach. V'im omer la'avia, if the father said to the shliach, tsei v'skabel l'biti gita, go receive a get from my daughter's ketana, there the father does have the halachic ability to appoint a shliach l'kabbalah, and therefore in that case, in rotzah lachzor, if the father wants to back out, the halach is lo yachzor, the halach is that at that point, he doesn't have the ability to back out. The Ravid explains that the ketana does not have the legal capacity to appoint a shliach to act on her behalf, because the pasuk that teaches us the halacha of shlichus says at gam atem. From gam atem, we learn that the shliach and the meshaleach must be both gedolim. Tosfos, the on samach dalar on the base, the Ramaskul Shani says the pasuk gam atem excludes a minor from appointing a shliach to perform an act which he himself can't do, but such as the marshal, he can't take off trumas, so he can't appoint a shliach to take off trumas and maestros on his behalf. However, if the cotton is able to do something for himself, then he's also able to appoint a shliach to do it on his behalf. So says the Pnei Yeshua, If that's the case, a Ketana should be able to appoint a Shliach Kabbalah to accept a get on her behalf, because as we learned, a Ketana is able to receive a get. So therefore, says the Rambam, so now we're back to where we started. Why does our Mishnah say that a Ketana cannot appoint a Shliach LeKabbalah? Says the Rambam, says that the Mishnah on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis teaches us that when a woman designates a Shliach LeKabbalah to accept a get on her behalf, two Edom must attest that the Shliach was appointed, and there were also two Edom have to be able to say that they saw that the Shliach received the get. Says the Rambam, that because there's a halacha, ein Edus lekatan, a katan can't say Edus, so therefore a ketana cannot appoint a Shliach lekabbalah, because the Shlichim, the Edom, cannot testify to an act of a ketana. So therefore, if the ketana were to appoint a Shliach lekabbalah, it would be considered as if the ketana did something without Edus. And the Mishnah taught us that this has to, that the Shliach LeKabbalah has to be appointed by Edom. Feimer, if somebody says to a Shliach, 10 gets El Ishti B'makom Pleni, give this get to my wife in this location, for Noslam B'makom Acher, and the Shliach gave it to her El Sui Apostle, because the husband, by identifying in certain place, that means he wants the get to be given in that place. And if not, that means there was a failure to fulfill his stipulation. But if he said, Harehi b'makom pleni, he just told the Shliach, you're looking for my wife, she's in that place, and then he ends up giving the get somewhere else, then it will be kosher, because there he wasn't stipulating that the get should be given in a certain place. And as Rashi explains, because when he stipulates that the get should be given in a certain place, the Rashi says because he doesn't want people to know that he's getting divorced. So he set a certain place where he assumes people don't know him. Tosfos has an opposite pshat. Tosfos says he wants to embarrass her when he divorces her. So he says he wants the get to be given in a place where he knows that will cause embarrassment. But since he identified a specific place where he wants the get to be given, on the other circumstance, the get won't be a good get. In this case, where he didn't say it that way, that where he just gave the Shliach an indication where he could find his wife, that doesn't mean that it has to be given there. And therefore, the halacha is that the get is valid even if the shliach gave it to her elsewhere. Hishish Amra, the wife said to the shliach, Hiskabali gitu b'makom pleni, except for me to get in a certain location, the kibla lo b'makom acher, and she receives it elsewhere, posel. Rav Elazar machshon. Another case, if she said to a shliach, Haveli gitu b'makom pleni, bring me my get from a certain place, v'via lo b'makom acher, and then he ends up bringing it to her from somewhere else, the loch is kosher. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah differentiated when he made the stipulations about where the get should be given, the husband versus the wife. By the husband, the Mishnah seems to say everybody agrees that if he identified that he wants the get to be given in a certain place, if it's given elsewhere, the get wouldn't be a good get. In the case of the wife, we have a machloikus. So ask the Gemara, Rabbi Loza, Maishna Reishna Deloi Plolig, why in the Reishna does he not disagree with the Tanakhama? Or Maishna Sefer the Plolig? Answers the Gemara. Iu, when it's the husband setting the terms, the Medata Karish, that he's the one that controls the get, and of course a get is not a valid get unless the husband decided to give a get. So Kapid, when he identified a place, we say he wants a dafka in that place. Ihi, when we speak about her, the Baal Korchem is Gereshes, she doesn't control this process. She could get divorced even without her consent. So there, Rebbe Lezer says that if he identified a place, it must have been only, if she identified a place and only is Maramakim, that she's telling him that's where you'll be able to find my husband, but not that it has to be in that place. Says the Mishnah, if a woman tells a shliach aveli geti, bring me my get from my husband, and the halacha, and when I receive it, I shall be divorced. The halacha is oichelus b'truma she yigir get liyada. She may continue eating truma until she receives the get. If he said miskabeli geti, you should be a shliach lekabola. Then the halacha is hasur lechel b'truma b'yad. The halacha is that she's not allowed to eat truma immediately because we have to be concerned that he already received the get and she's divorced. If she said, "Hiskabeli geti b'makom pleni, receive this get from me in this place," oichelus b'truma ad sheyigir get lo samakom. Until the get will get to that place, she's not divorced, and therefore she may continue eating truma. Rebbe Lezer says, "Miyad." The halacha is she has to stop eating truma right away because as Rebbe Lezer is following his opinion. Rebbe Lezer's opinion, as we just said, was that when a wife identifies a place, we're not to understand that the wife identifying a place means that she really needs that place. Because since, as we learned, the wife does not control the get process, since the wife does not control the get process, she knows that her status is very weak. And when she appoints a shliach and she tells him a place, all she really means is maramakim. She's showing a place, but not that it has to be exactly where she wants it to be. And therefore, the halacha is, as soon as if the shliach were to meet the husband, wherever he meets the husband, the get will be a good get. And therefore, she has to be concerned that she's already divorced, and therefore she may not eat truma anymore. Says the Gemara. The Gemara begins with the Tanna Kamma, that when the get gets to a certain place, she's divorced, even if she received it somewhere else. The Gita Meyahava, as soon as the get gets there, she's divorced. Vam Dresha, but then we learn in the Resha that the Tanna Kamma said that Loi Hava Gita, the Resha, the Mishnah, the Tanna Kamma, the Sefer, that when the get gets to that place, if she's divorced, even if the shliach received it elsewhere. But in the Resha we learned that if she receives the get elsewhere, it's not a good get. Answered the Gemara, L'tzricha, the case of our Mishnah, is the Amar Leis Gabali Geta B'Mas Mechasya. She told her shliach, receive the get in the city called Masa Mechasya. The Zimnan, but she also said, you may find my husband, the Mishkach Sebebovo, Vach Karmelei. And this is what she said to him, to the Shliach. Mishkol, to take the get on my behalf, call Hecha the Mishkach Slei, wherever you find my husband, Shaklimine, please take the get. However, it should not be considered a valid get. Gita Lehavi, it should not be considered a valid get at the Matos L'Masa Mechasya, until you arrive to Masa Mechasya. And therefore, that's the way we're going to learn the Mishnah. So therefore, as soon as the time passed that he could have arrived to Masa Mechasya, we need to be concerned that he arrived to Masa Mechasya and she can't eat truma. But if she said that she wants dafka, the get to be valid, received in a certain place, if we follow the Tanna Kamma of the previous Mishnah, if the get is received elsewhere, she would actually not be divorced. Rebbe Lezer Omer Miyad, she may not eat immediately truma, because Rebbe Lezer, as we explained, is following his opinion of the Mishnah on Amar Aleph, that when a wife identifies a place, she's not specifying that it has to be that place. And wherever the get is received, as far as the wife is concerned, it's going to be a get. And if that is the case, the halacha, she has to be worried. There has to be a concern that the get was received already, and therefore she's divorced, and she may not eat truma. says the Gemara, but everything we just said is Rabbi Elazar's opinion that we already learned on Amud Aleph. What is new here? Suck the Gemara, answers the Gemara, Tzricha d'Amar Leizil Amarach, she told the Shliach that she go to the east side, because the east of the Mizrach, my husband is on the east side. The Ka'az Lamarav, but the Shliach didn't do what he was told, and he went to the west side. So shouldn't that clearly be an indication that he doesn't have a get? Because the husband's on the east side. He's certainly not on the west side. Our Mishnah, Beleza, teaches us, Dilma Bahadit Ka'azl, maybe as he was traveling, even though there is no reason to believe that the husband's on the west side, he may be on the west side. And then the Shliach will meet him, the Yavle Gitte, and give him the get. And therefore, because of that concern, as soon as the Shliach is appointed, she may not eat Truma anymore. The halacha is that on Shabbos, we have halacha of a Tchum Shabbos. That one may not walk past 2,000 amas outside of the city. The way you could walk more than 2,000 amas out of your city is by putting down a Tchum Shabbos. By putting down a Tchum Shabbos, it gives you the right to walk another 2,000 amos in the direction you put down the Erev. Because where you put down the Erev Tchumim, halachically, that's considered your place of residence for Shabbos. And of course, if you put down your Erev Tchumim in one direction, so you'll be able to walk another 2,000 amos in that direction, but you lose the right to walk anything in the other direction. So says the Mishnah, Haimer l'shluchai, if somebody asks the shliach to put down an Erev, and he asks him, Arev li b'tamarim, make an Erev with me with dates, v'irlai b'groigris, and the shliach made an Erev with figs, or vice versa, b'groigris, v'irlai b'tamarim. He asked that the shliach use figs, and he ended up using dates. Tani chada, one b'raisa says that Eruv Erev, that it's a valid Erev, but Tani Yiddich, and the other b'raisa says, Ein Eruv Erev, it's not a valid Erev. So the Gemara's question is, we have a stira of the Brises. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabba Loikasha, Ha Rabbanon, the first one Brice represents the opinion of Rabbanon, Ha Rebeleza, Ha Rabbanon, the Rabbanon that we've been learning throughout our shir, that whenever somebody says something, he means what he said. And since he means what he said, if the Shliach doesn't follow the instructions, it's invalid. Ha Rebeleza, whereas the opinion of Rabbi Elazar is the maramakam huloi, that even though somebody said something, it's not that he specifically must have it that way. And here too, the dates and the figs are not absolutely necessary. Rabbi Yosef says that we don't have to explain that these two brises represent a machloikus Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan, but rather we could say hava hava Rabbanan, that both brises represent the opinion of Rabbanan. Kambashaloi, the first brise the brisa that says that it's fine is talking about where the figs and dates belong to this person on whom the Erev is being made. So since the figs and dates belong to him, doesn't make a difference what he's going to use. By a get, as we said earlier, the person is particular where the get should be given, because as we explained earlier in our shiur, he doesn't want to be embarrassed. He wants to embarrass his wife. But it comes to an Erev Tchumim, the person really doesn't care what the Erev Tchumim is made out of. So as long as the food that's being used for the Erev Tchumim belongs to him, it's fine. The second Braisa is speaking about a case where he's using food that belongs to somebody else. So if he got permission to use somebody else's dates, he didn't get permission to use somebody else's figs, or vice versa. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya asked to Rabbi Yosef, El Hodu Tanya, this is what we learned in the Braisa. Haim L'Shlucha Erev Levli B'Migdal. Put down an Erev that in the closet, which is to be found at the end of 2000 Amma. V'Erev Le B'Shoivach. And the Shlich ended up putting in a nest. B'Shoivach, or he told him put the Erev in the nest. V'Erev Le B'Migdal, he put it into the closet. Tanya Chodu Eruv Erev. One Braisa says that it's a valid Erev, but Tanya Educh, another Braisa says, Ein Erev. So, what asked the Gemara, you Rabbi Yosef, asked Abaye to Rabbi Yosef, You, Rabbi Yosef, are differentiating between it's his food or somebody else's food. How do we explain that regarding when the Erev is put down? Whether it's his or somebody else's, what's the difference where you put it? Answers the Gemara, Hasanami Ika. The way to understand those brises, the peri de migdal, peri de shevach. The halach is that there's fruit in the closet and there's fruit in the nest. And that's the same as we've been learning. If it's your fruit, if it's the person who's sending, so he doesn't care, it's his fruit, use his fruit for the Erev. But if it's somebody else's fruit, then maybe he got permission for this fruit and not for the other fruit. Says the Mishnah Omer, if somebody says to two people, Kisfu get to tunu lishti, write a get and deliver it to my wife, or he said, Gershua, or he said, Ksuva geres with tunula, and all these cases, Hare Eilu, Yichtav Yitnu. All these cases are considered valid ways of expressing a get, and therefore, since they're valid ways of expressing a get, it's considered a proper shliach, but if a proper appointing of a shlichus. However, if he said, Petrua, Panasua, Asula Kanimus, Asula Karoi, Elam Lamaklum, it's not considered a proper halachic instruction. Petrua means that, maybe Petrua means she alleviate her debts. Panasua means supporter. Asula Kanimus maybe means take care of what she needs. Food, clothing. And therefore, since these are all not language that properly express an obligation of a request for a get, she's not divorced. Tana Rabbanan, if says the Brice, of her husband said to Shlichim, Shalchua, Shefkua, Tarchua. All these wordings, Harayeli Yichtavu Yitnu. These are all considered valid ways about giving a get. But the Ravid makes a very important point. Even though all the words that the Gemara just identified are words that speak about a get, says the Ravid that it has to be that they were speaking about getting divorced. The husband was speaking about divorcing his wife prior to using these words. But if that wasn't the case, says the Ravid, it wouldn't, just this word alone would be inadequate. The other Rishonim that disagree, and they hold that these words are strong enough language that even if they weren't discussing getting divorced, it would be fine. But if he says, Petrua, Panasua, Asula Kanimus, Asula Karoi, Le'am Meklum, these are all not considered a valid way of divorcing. Tanya says the Gemara, Reb Nosson Omer. Reb Nosson teaches us, if the husband said to Edom, Petrua, the drua is a way of expressing pit, and the pronunciation is critical here. Patrua is an adequate way of expressing that I want to divorce my wife, and therefore it's considered proper instruction of divorcing her. However, if he used the word pitrua, loyamaklum, because all he means to say, it doesn't mean that he was giving instructions that he wants to get divorced. Patrua is a stronger expression. And the Gemara is teaching us that only when the stronger expression is used is it considered a valid construction. Amar Rava, Rav Nosson, the Bavlohu. Rav Nosson lived in Bavel. And Daik ben Patrua and Le Patrua. He makes a differentiation between the word patrua, which is a stronger expression, as we just said, than patrua. However, Tan the Don the Baritz Yisrael, who the Tan of Amish no lived at Yisrael, Loy Deik, they weren't not so careful in the way they expressed themselves, and it doesn't make a difference what he said. Either way, it would be a valid way of giving an instruction. Ibailuhu, if the husband said Hitziu Mahu, how do we explain that? Doesn't mean for Yitziu that she should go out by herself and then it would not be a valid expression. Doesn't mean I want her to be taken out, which is Izvua Mama. Again, doesn't mean I want her to be taken out or not. Hiturua Mahu, Hinichu Mahu. Ha'ilala mahu. Asula kadas mahu. Again, in all these cases, the question is this enough of an expression that he means to divorce her? Says the Gemara, Pshayt mi'chada. One of the questions can be answered. The Tanya, the Brisa says expressly, clearly, if the husband said asula kadas, asula kanimus, asula karoi, all of these are not adequate expressions of giving an instruction for a get, and let them a clump.